Welcome to this week's edition of In the Clubhouse with EMD Baseball. I'm Andy Kirikides, joined by my wonderful co-host who has a new hat on today,
Keith. This isn't that new. Hi, how are you?
I don't think you've made an appearance on the pod yet. I like it.
This is an older one. This is my sister-in-law's their spin studio there, Compass Cycle Studio, Rochester, New York. If there's any people out there listening in Rochester that want to go spin. Compass Cycle Studio. There's one in the city. There's one in Greece. We've got two locations. Unpaid, unprompted, unpaid advertisement here on Dugout Dish.
Hey,
not sponsored. We're not affiliated. It's a sick hat. So, I have it on today. I have a bunch of Compass hats. I probably usually have them on here, but
I might have to hit
a plug Compass Cycle Studio. So again, Rochester area people. Get in there. Tell them Keith sent you. We'll get you like 10% off or something. I don't know.
Love it.
I'll get the text if someone uses the. Just use the code Keith. See what happens.
I have to
scramble and text my sister-in-law after. It's like, hey, in case someone shows up, the off chance this happens.
Love it. All right.
Been a little loosey-goosey on this podcast since I've come back. So
yeah, we're back in the mix here. We're going to talk about a less loosey-goosey topic, but one that's important. We got it's July 1st, July 2nd. There's probably a lot of people out there, specifically in the 2025 class, who are starting to go, well, I'm not getting recruited by the schools that I like. I think that I'm a D1 player and I'm not getting calls from Division I schools. What do I do? And we're going to take a few minutes to talk about that. So, I mean, for me, rule number one is don't panic. This stuff can happen really quick. It can take one good performance. It can take going to visit a school. It can take one good camp outing. There's a lot of chips that can fall in the next 3 or 4 or 5 months, which I'm sure we're going to get here in a second. But what are your opening thoughts on this topic, Coach?
I think the one thing. We're probably going to do a little bit of a longer episode on this in the very near future. But I think the one thing, like, this is the first full cycle of seeing what's going to happen with kids going, you know, the contact date moving back to August, and kind of what that looks like. And obviously we've talked a lot about the transfer portal and stuff in here. And I do think that that's something that is worth obviously mentioning here too. Like, it's not ruining college athletics. We've talked about that. Like, don't worry about it. But the other thing I think, like, there's the recruiting pace has become a little bit slower. And I think that some people are not hearing as much from the schools that they want to, and you're only hearing from schools that you might not think that you want to go to or you're better than. It's in this kind of ecosystem, like the schools are the ones that are kind of dictating where it is you're going to fit in. And if you're, dead set on playing Division I baseball, but only Division III schools are recruiting you, then the likelihood of you not being a Division I baseball player right now are pretty high. The Division III route might be the route that is best for you and your skill set right now in order for you to be able to find success at the college level right away. So I think that, like, I love the number one of don't panic, but I think the other is keeping doors open, which we've talked about a little bit recently, and also, being a little bit more proactive on your end of what schools it is that, obviously are recruiting you, but what schools it is that you're interested in that aren't necessarily the Division I schools, and going and visiting schools and seeing what they're like. It's hard having conversations with some people when they just completely explain away ones, dismiss a school. Well, my cousin went to a rural school and didn't like it, so I don't want to go there. Like, okay, like, but you didn't go there and they have a really good baseball program. So why don't we go visit and see if we like it? To your point, like, getting on campus and going to a camp and finding places that you fit in academically and athletically and having someone in your corner to help guide that, be it some people like us or coaches, your high school coach or travel coach, whatever it might be that can help you kind of guide through that process so that you can find the best fit, I think is one of the best things that you could do. But obviously being able to be open to a lot of different opportunities and options that are out there is a side that's like my one B to don't panic, like be open and find spots that, you're going to be able to fit. Because if you want to play Division I baseball and you've played a bunch of tournaments and there's been a bunch of coaches that have been out to see you play and there's not one Division I school that's recruiting you, you're likely not a Division I player right now. If there's a bunch of Division III schools recruiting you, the market's going to tell you what you are. So go to those go visit those Division III schools, chase them down, see what happens. You might find yourself in a really good situation academically, athletically, and program wise, where you're going to be surprised at how good of a student athlete experience you're going to have.
Yeah, I think that's incredibly important. Is you got to read the tea leaves a little bit, and you don't want to burn any bridges. That's one way to look at it. But I think the other way to look at it is be open to opportunity, right? Every coach who shows interest in you, that is an opportunity. Like and we've mentioned this a lot, but there's a very small percentage of kids who get to play college baseball. And at a certain point, it's not that you lower your standards, but you have to understand that you don't get to pick from a menu in this process. And if you're getting some legitimate interest from Division III schools or Division II schools, and somebody's telling you that you're better than those programs, you need to be open to doing your homework. You need to be open to those phone calls. You need to be open to those visits, because a lot of times what happens is you get a chance to engage with these coaches and you get a chance to go and visit a school and you're going to be blown away at what they have to offer. And opportunity is something that not everybody gets. So if you do get this interest from a school that you may not have a ton of interest in, at least do your homework. You can always say no. And if you have options in this process, you're going to have to say no to somebody. But you need to keep the door open for potential opportunities that might be a better athletic fit for you anyways. And I'm sure we'll hit on this at some point in another podcast, but like, you got to really think about what's important to you and what you're trying to get out of this, and not how cool your Twitter post is going to be. Right? If you want to play college baseball and you want to leverage that to get a good education, you can't just immediately close doors because you don't know a ton about that school, or someone who knows someone went there and it wasn't a good fit for them. Like, you're not them. And your situation and your experience is going to be based on the people you surround yourself with, the coaches that are going to coach you. It's going to be way less dictated by the size of the school in the location of the school. And I think that's a hard thing for some people to wrap their head around, is that being in a rural campus doesn't mean you don't get a college experience. It's just a different college experience, right? Not everybody gets to go to Alabama and go to football games with 85,000 people. That's just not how all of college works. But if you want to play baseball and you're serious about playing baseball in college and you're serious about using that as a mechanism to get a good education, you have to have the willingness and the ability to go and research those schools and get a better understanding of where they're at and go visit them. Because a lot of times you can be really surprised at what some of these schools have to offer. You get a chance to sit down with a coach and you sit across from that coach and you walk away and you're like, shoot, I could play for that guy. And God, that's powerful. Because if you can find a coach that you really enjoy showing up for every day, that's going to be a huge portion of your college experience. And that matters a lot.
Yeah. We've had a lot of guys on here who talk about the amount of time you're going to spend with people and all of that from a coaching standpoint. Like, you spend an inordinate amount of time with your teammates and the coaches. So like, being able to have that relationship is what you want, And I think the other thing, when you talk about whether it was a cousin or a sibling or whatever, who went to a school or visited a school and didn't like it, it's not you for one. But two, you never know who, like, there might have been a coaching change in that time frame, or there might be new assistants, like whatever it might be that you might you know, really enjoy that you would like to play for. And, you know, maybe they upgraded their facilities. Maybe all the, you know, in the last, since the last time someone went there, like, they're really, really good and they're recruiting you. Like, you know, I think sometimes, you know, it's, you know, it's easy to be influenced by people around you, especially when you're younger, to be able to when you're trying to form decisions and decide on where it is you want to go from a college standpoint, and kind of being able to at least voice your opinion and think for yourself a little bit of where you think you would best fit in and the people you're getting along with. Because, you know, I've said this before, I never wrote a lineup with mom and dad and hitting in the 7 and 8 hole. Like, that kid, the kid's going to be playing there. Like, he needs to be the one that's comfortable being on that campus, you know, not only from an athletic standpoint, but from an academic standpoint. And, you know, you can leverage baseball into a really good academic institution and change the trajectory of, you know, your life or your family's life, whatever it might be, if you're able to do that. You know, there's a lot of first generation college kids coming around, and, you know, you go get a college degree, you can go do some stuff that, you know, you may have had some doors closed before. So, you know, I think it's incredibly short-sighted to not keep your options open and to panic and rely on the, you know, well, I just want to play Division I baseball. And if I don't, I'm just going to go to a big time school and enjoy my 4 years, when, you know, you could probably figure out a way to, you know, a school where you're going to fit in and be able to find success and have play baseball and make lifelong friends and teammates that you're going to be able to do a lot of cool stuff with over the course of the, you know, next 15, 20, 30 years.
Yeah. And if you're, the other thing I'll say in that is that if you're the family or the player who's going to push all your chips into the Division I pot, and that's the bet you're going to make, you have to be willing to live with the consequences of that. Because if the baseball world's not telling you that you're a Division I guy and you've played in front of a lot of these schools and you want to push that in and you're comfortable with saying, hey, if I don't play Division I, I'm not going to play, that's fine. My question for those families and those players is, how much do you really want to play college baseball? And how much do you actually know about the talent level that's required to play at any level? And I think that's an important thing that people need to consider when they go through this process, is that Division III isn't, it's not something that you just get because you want it. It's not a default. And we've hit on that a bunch. We're going to continue to harp on it. We've both coached at that level. We've both coached at the Division I level. There's really good players everywhere, and getting the opportunity to play is a privilege, is not a right. And that's tough to wrap your head around sometimes, especially if you're a pretty good high school player and you're trying to understand, well, like, you know, I hit 400 in high school and you know, I don't have any Division I schools recruiting me. It's because it's not that simple. And the last thing I'll add on this is just to really understand the timelines, in that July 1st, July 2nd, there are few, if any, Division III commitments at this point in the 2025 class. And that's okay. That's how their timeline works. Same thing with Division II. And you're going to see Division I schools go well into the fall looking for additional pieces to the puzzle. Guys who pop up, guys who pop in the sprint in the fall, see a velo jump, or they get a little bit bigger and a little bit stronger because they lifted hard this summer. Like, there's always room for good players. So don't let the fact that it's July get you in this panic mode that we're running out of time. Because in reality, for the vast majority of kids who go through this process, there's still four or five more months to this process that you're going to have to bear down on. You know, some guys are going to finish up a little bit earlier than others, but you know as well as I do, there's a lot of kids who may not make a decision on where they're going until February or April of next year, because they're getting recruited by four different schools and they haven't had a chance to visit. And that coach is going to hold a spot for them, and they apply regular decision. They make their visits in January, and then you make a decision on where you're going in February, March, or April. Like, that's a very normal thing to happen. And it's a hard thing because of social media and because of the previous way that the recruiting process played out, where stuff was happening a lot earlier. But the new contact rule and the transfer portal have really changed how coaches are going about their business. And that's, you, you can't bitch about what it is now. You have to understand the reality of it and work within kind of the guidelines and the constraints that we currently have in this recruiting world. So don't panic. There's plenty of time to get this done. And I want to double down on one thing that you said, that consistency of you need to reach out to coaches, you need to follow them on Twitter, you need to send your emails, you need to communicate with these guys. They got to know where you're playing. Like, you need to do everything that you can to stack the chips in your favor as much as possible.
The last thing I'll add, just, you know, especially with the 25 class, if you end up, you know, being fortunate enough to play college baseball at the division, especially at the Division III level, like, your timeline, especially now, like, we're recording right now on July 2nd, like, your timeline is going to be a little bit longer. Like, a lot of Division III's, like, you know, they might try to get you, you know, on campus into camp and such in like late August, September, maybe try to get your early decision. But, you know, even then, like, if you commit early decision, like, you're not really done until mid-November, December, when you get your acceptance and all of that stuff. So, you know, you might be, quote unquote, you know, done recruiting, but even if we're talking early decision, like, you're probably making that decision September and October after official, you know, camps being seen, official visits, such like that. You get it, you get your financials, everything looks good, then you're gonna go ahead and apply and go ED. Like, you know, you could make that decision in October, you know, so we're looking at another July, August, September, you know, another 4.5 months, you know, 4 months, 4.5 months into November. You know, even if you early decision two, you know, we're talking December, like, we're at the end of this year. So it's not, certainly not time to hit the panic button on really anything. And, you know, it's really only been, especially from a Division III standpoint, like, a lot of those guys have really just fired up recruiting in the last 2 weeks. And it's going to roll through July and August. So, like, you know, you still got 2 months to really, you know, it's probably 6 weeks with games and showcases and camps and clinics and stuff to be seen. So, you know, don't hit the panic button, be able to communicate effectively, and consistently, be able to, you know, be available to coaches, talk to them on the phone, text, follow them on Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. You know, so all of those things will be able to really help you, you know, be seen and likely be recruited by some of the programs it is that you want to be seen by.
Well put. Anything else you'd like to add, Coach?
No. You know, go to Compass Cycle Studio if you're listening in Rochester, New York, the unofficial sponsor of this podcast today, unbeknownst to anybody who runs Compass. Well, they know now. I texted them during this, but, you know. Code Keith. Go get them.
Code Keith, all caps. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We will catch up with you next week. Talk to you soon. Thank you for listening this week. If you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and smash that like button for us. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, as well as Spotify. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at EMD Baseball. If you want to find out what me and Keith do to help families and players navigate the recruiting process, go ahead and check us out on emdbaseball.com. Take a few minutes to check out our new online academy. I promise you'll get some good information out of that. Thanks again for listening. Check in with you next week.